Okay, so you had, I don't know, over an hour, I think, to go through Chumash and to look at a very simple question. And the simple question is to take different topics and to see to what degree it is a topic of discussion, right? An important issue that's discussed, that has an important place in the Torah. Topics that are all important, without a doubt, and I'm not here to question the importance or significance of any of the topics by any means. That's not my point at all. Far from it. We looked at, on the one hand, group one looked at Eretz Yisrael in the Torah, and group two looked at tznius in the sense of dress, clothing, appropriate attire. Number two, Lashon Hara. And number three, learning Torah. Okay? So that was the breakup. Now, ostensibly, all things being equal, team two should have at least three times as many sources to present as team one. Right? Okay, good. So, let's take a look at the results and see, and then I'd like to maybe comment a little bit and add a little bit to what we've seen. But first, I think this is a very important experiment in pedagogically and in terms of your as an adventure in learning and discovery, a very important experience. And I could have come with a list and handed you a list, but I don't think it would have been quite the same. Aside from the fact you might say, well, maybe I'm, slanted, this, that. But aside from that, I just think that discovering something ourselves is very, very different. So let's take a look and see. So let me ask you, how did it go? Team one, how did it go?
Great.
Yeah.
So how many examples do you have for us? How many sections? Okay.
Each is safer,
okay.
Yeah.
And so who did Bereshit?
Second and
Tikkun. So about how many? You don't have to give me an exact number. About how many did you climb? Bereshit?
35.
35.
Well,
okay.
Okay.
Who did Shmod? Shmod. What do we find in Shmod?
Eight.
Okay. Yes. Only eight. Go ahead. Who has Vayikra? 15, guys, we have to listen to each other, okay? 15 in Vayikra, okay. And does that say any of this is, we could debate exact, but we get a sense, okay. Who has Bamidbar? Yes. Doesn't have to be a precise number.
Like 25.
Okay. Who has Dvarim? Johnny, you might as well just throw in the whole sefer, right?
It's going to happen easy. I went to a park in Olive and I have 19 times.
Okay, so through Perek
Yud Aleph.
Okay, through Perek Yud Aleph, which is about it's almost precisely a third of the Sefer, right? So you have so far 19. Okay, 19 and counting. Okay, Beseda. Okay, so all together, a quick count, we had
35.
Me and Alex are 60 together.
Plus
you're 60 also.
We're 60.
Okay.
So 120.
Okay. So we should be expecting. We should be expecting between 300 to 400. On this side of the room, assuming that they're equal. Okay. Okay. Do you divide it by topic or by sefer? How do you go about it? By sefer. Okay. Shh, guys, we have to now listen to them. Okay. Let's hear what you came up with.
So Bereshit, I have 14, but I don't think I'll qualify.
You have 14 Bereshit.
Yeah, like, I did skis with, Ifka and, hiding her from, Melech, and it's also skis. Why not? So now I'll qualify. I take 10.
Again, when we say skis, by skis, I mean appropriate dress.
So, 10 in general, I think.
You have 10? I'm impressed. I'd like to hear what these 10 are.
Skis, all.
Oh, of all of them. Yeah. Okay, all of them put together, you have 10. Okay, that's it. I'm still surprised. That's impressive, I think. Where that's the topic under discussion, really? Okay. And that's a high number, but okay, I'm sad. Yes. Okay. What do we have in Shemot?
I have in Shemot. I have, like, 2 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
okay. That's it.
I have 1 tzniyas and 2 lashon hara.
Okay. What do you have?
I have 3 tzniyas, but one of them is like covering like the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. So that's maybe. I just kind of thought that like you could say like
okay.
We are kelim.
All of these things have to be covered and we're holy okay. people.
Okay.
Really, I have 2. I don't have any Talmud Torah, and for Lashon Hara, I have 2, 3, 4, but like, maybe 3.
Okay. Okay. Any more? Or is that. Okay. Okay, so we have a few hundred, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking about the multiplying. We have well over 100 without too much effort, right? You don't have to work hard at this.
Yeah.
Safe to say, we are clearly like Eretz Yisrael is a major part of what's being discussed. In other words, how many times we have, and we'll look at a few examples. But okay, I have to tell you that you know, and you people came up with I'd say a total of a dozen or two, maybe. All told, okay,
15.
With I think a lot of them being somewhat of a stretch or
yeah.
Okay, working very hard. Okay, Beseda. I think this gives us, you know, I mean, this is something which I don't know if you've ever, you know, thought about before, looked at before, but it's hard to imagine that that's not at all significant. In other words, if in any sefer that you would pick of Chumash, and certainly Breisha, and certainly Dvarim, but even in any sefer of Chumash, but especially Breisha and Dvarim, one could turn to almost any page, and there is a major component of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's about in terms of the destiny of Am Yisrael, in terms of it being part of the grit, the bracha, the tochacha, the prerequisite for not just the specific mitzvah, but all mitzvah, and Torah, and chulei. One go on and on and on. And literally, I mean, you can, I think that, you know, there's you don't have to work very hard. This is one of the top topics in the Torah. That doesn't mean to say that there aren't others. Obviously, there are others. Certainly, you know, if I asked you to look for Avodah Zarah, I asked you to look for Shabbos, I asked you to look for, you know, in general, keeping the mitzvot, or let's, you know, yeah, certainly right. Fine, right? See, there are many major topics in the Torah. But it would be aside from like you know if you took the topic of let's say God right you know but or mitzvah you know like something like so broad that it really encompasses just about everything but or you know or beinam lechaver you know again I'm not talking about like you know but if you take a specific topic there are very few if any topics in Torah that is the topic of discussion more often than Eretz Yisrael and just simply in the Pshat and Chumash. It's something that if you haven't ever experienced before, you should be exposed to. It's an important thing to realize. Okay, it's an important thing to realize. Now, I'm not trying to say that Lashon Hara is not an important thing that we need to struggle with. Obviously it is. And you deduce the Gemara Bava Basra, etc. Obviously, however, important to understand, it's certainly not the central topic in the Torah. Tznius is certainly not the central topic in the Torah. Even Talmud Torah is not the central topic in the Torah. It's just not. You have to wait all the way to Sefer Yehoshua to get to Vigita Bo Yom Balayla. In any case, obviously, I'm not in any way questioning the importance or centrality of Talmud Torah, which I think is critical. I'm not saying that Tznius is not very important, and, you know, clearly, my wife and I talk to our kids about Tznius all the time. But what I'm saying is the following. I want to read an excerpt for you. Just a few paragraphs. And I want to Xerox it, but the Xerox machine broke before I could do this. So, Belina, I will give it to you. But not today. So, or not right now anyhow. But I want to read it to you. I want to be able to see it yourself, but you'll have to tell. Okay. Contemporary Rav, Shiva of Har Bracha, been in the papers lately, may have come across there as well, but the author of many, many fine svarim, including the series of Pinei Halacha, which is a wonderful set for learning basic Halacha. Really a very, very fine sefer, and I haven't gone through all of it, but the parts I've looked at, really enjoyed very much, a very good basic overview of a very reasonable and straight approach to Halacha, and also combines it with Hashkafa. It's really a very, very nice svarim, some of the nicest Sifrei Halacha that I've seen written in the last, few decades, really, really fine svarim. And also has a series called Revivim, of which there are three volumes so far. You can get a Haskama, right? Yes, you can get a Haskama in this svarim, good svarim. Anyhow, one of my favorite bus readings, because it's like, it's a nice, light reading, but very, very inspiring, very beautiful Hashkafa, and mostly deals with Hashkafic things. The first volume deals with issues that have to do with family and education and career and things of that nature. That's volume one. Volume two deals with Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and army related issues. And volume three is about great people, about Gedolim, Chule, very, very fascinating sefer as well, which just came out a few weeks ago. In any case, in the Chelek Bet, this is a collection basically of, or exactly, I don't know, but it's a collection basically of articles. He writes a weekly column and in a paper called Besheva, and the column's called Revivim, and he has it collected here. And I'd like to read to you just a few paragraphs that are relevant to our discussion, and then to elaborate on it just a tiny bit. Tofa'a manyanet. It's an interesting, I'm going to paraphrase, I could translate a little bit. Okay, it's an interesting phenomenon. B'chol pam shani kotev al mitzvah yishuv ha'aretz, o b'shvacha shel Eretz Yisrael, whenever I write about the mitzvah of yishuv ha'aretz, or about in praise of Eretz Yisrael, megiot kuvot charifot, I get sharp responses. Right? People write back to me and give me these sharp responses. And they say, Atem ein lachem ela mitzvah achat b'torah. You think there's only one mitzvah in the Torah. Et kol shar mitzvot, all the other mitzvot, like Shabbos and Tefillah and Kashrut and Tzniut, Tzenachtem, those you leave out. V'rak chozrim kol hazman al mitzvah Eretz Yisrael. It's the only thing you talk about. Yeshap mosifin, ki hadgashat mitzvah achat v'ofen kitzoni. Emphasizing one mitzvah, though even those who go as far as say that emphasizing one mitzvah in such an extreme way, nechsheva kavod azara. It's like Avodah Zarah. V'yesh tonim madua temo skim kolzman rak b'yishuv ha'aretz. Zenosei politi v'lo elchati. There's not a lach topic. There's a political topic. Lumatzot sugyot other topics. You don't go into. Okay. Continues Rav Malan. Listen carefully to what he says. Bachanti et atzmi. I checked myself out. I tested myself. I put it to the test. Shema achin chatati b'havlatam mugzemet shel mitzvah yishuv ha'aretz. Maybe indeed I, went overboard. Maybe. Let me check. Let me see what percentage of my discussions have to do with this topic. People keep on writing me about how I'm exaggerating and writing so much about this, and this is my whole focus. Badakti b'krachim ha'shonim shel sifri p'ninei halacha. I looked at my set of p'ninei halacha to see how much space is devoted to this topic. U'matzati ki ha'isuk ba'eretz Yisrael mikiv pachot mishnei achuz. It's less than 2% of the set. Okay, less than 2%. This is people writing that that's all he talks about. It was less than 2%. Badakti et ma'amarai, and then I looked at my columns in the newspaper. Okay, the columns, which as he goes on to explain, which are meant to be dealing with current issues, right? In other words, things that have to do with what's going on today. Matzati ki aisuk me'eretz Yisrael mikiv kishiv'a ad shmona achuz. It's between 7% and 8%. It is the only thing he talks about, with 7% to 8%. Lo harbe bitchashei b'kach shemamrim amrim lasok b'nosim shomdim al seder hayom al eretz Yisrael kamu v'nafal b'dorot hachronim. This is the issue of the day in modern times. Chaye haklal v'aprat tluyim ba v'lo l'chinam alei kamu v'nafalot memshalot. Mi yodea. Maybe I should have spoken about more, not less. And this is what I want to point out. The people, it appears that the people who are complaining that I talk about it too much, they really don't want me to talk about it at all. Maybe this mitzvah is hard for them. Maybe they don't want to say it's a mitzvah at all. Because after all, we talk about it, people realize it's a mitzvah, so then they'll have to invest efforts that they're not interested in doing. And he goes on to explain why chayt ha-maraglim. He says something very, very fascinating. He says, after all, the maraglim said reasonable things. The maraglim said there are impossible challenges, it's too difficult, we're going to be destroyed, they're more powerful than us. What was wrong? So he says, so that was their evaluation. So maybe they were wrong, but Beseder, so what was so terrible? They'll be destroyed, so they're trying to save Amis. The problem is they didn't have enough love and value for Eretz Yisrael, and therefore lachein lo ratzu ikanes elah. Mitol kach ta'u b'shikul datam v'chtiu atam. Okay. What I want to get to is as follows. I'm going to come back to this in a few moments, but I want to get back to the following. I'm not trying to say that we should build a curriculum for our Shivot and seminaries, for our high schools, for our whatever it is, or elementary schools, whatever it may be, based purely on percentage of topic being discussed in Chumash. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that l'chora, what is emphasized in the Chumash, what takes up a huge, percentage, a small bit of that, should tell us something, right? And it's hard to imagine that there's no significance at all to the fact that clearly Eretz Yisrael plays a pivotal, central, critical role in Chumash. It's not just Chumash. If one were to extend to Tanakh, we have the same thing. I hesitated to do this with all of Tanakh, and that would be simpler to do it just with Chumash, and obviously Chumash is in a category by itself, even within Tanakh, that we all understand. But when we see, Let me pose a few questions for a moment. Let's imagine that a person is talking to their friends, and picture as many different contexts and settings and places and communities as you can. A person says to their friend, I'm going to have a chavrusa, or I'm going to have a seder, daily, bi-weekly, whatever it is, but really basically have a Seder, I'm going to study about Lashon Hara. I have a regular Seder in Lashon Hara. Right? That's what I'm going to, have a Seder with this rabbi, with this Rebbe, with this teacher, with this Mechanech, with this whatever, and we decide what we're going to learn. We're going to study about Lashon Hara. Or we're going to study about Tznius. Or we're going to study about the value of Talmud Torah. Okay? And think about the reaction that generally gets. Another thing about someone says, I'm going to have a chavrusa, and the topic that we're going to study about Eretz Yisrael. Okay? What reaction does each get? Okay? And in different, environments, obviously, they have different reaction. That's one question, food for thought. We could ask the question differently. How many people in our base medrash have a regular Seder studying about the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? How many people have a Seder in Lashon Hara or in Tznius or in Talmud Torah? I'm just curious. I didn't take any numbers. I don't know. And I think that, we're probably, more Tzioni than some, and less Tzioni than some, and whatever. But it's an interesting question. Okay. Again, it's obviously the key questions are, depends on the person and what they need, but it's just an interesting question to contemplate. And what reaction would the various, you know, people that you speak to, would they have to each of those type of comments? Well, I'll give you another scenario. Okay, another scenario. You have a teacher, you have a Rebbe, you have a Rav, and, you know, every third drasha, they talk about, and plug in the two possibilities, right? Every other drasha they talk about tznius. Or every other, you know, every third drasha they talk about Eretz Yisrael. And how's that perceived and how's that looked at? I don't know. I think that there is something very upside down in the world when many people, if the Rav or the Rebbe or the teacher, you know, talks about Eretz Yisrael every third day, so, you know, every third shir, every third drash, whatever, so they go like, this guy's not from, this teacher's not, you know, this is a socioni, what's wrong, so why are you talking politics? The reaction that Rav Melamed got in his columns went 7 to 8% was about Eretz Yisrael. The same person got up in every third shir where he was talking about, you know, how the women should dress and, you know, issues of tzniut or lashon hara or whatever, or how everyone should be sitting and learning all the time. Again, and I'm not saying these are all important topics, but the reaction by many people would be very different. So my question is, but one second, now we open up the Torah, right? We open up the Torah, right? We all believe in the Torah. Open up the Torah, we open up a Chumash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a Shir, a Drasha, a Dvar Torah. And you saw for yourselves, what is he talking about every other minute? Much more than every third Drasha, much more than every, you know, other Shir, much more than, you know, right? How often is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking about Eretz Yisrael? According to Chazal, we all know the first Rashi in Chumash. According to Chazal, all the way through all of Sefer Bereishit, through the first quarter, more than a quarter, up to Perek Yud-Bet, all the first whole, you know, like one and a quarter Sfarim is there. Why? So we should understand why we have a right to Eretz Yisrael. All of Sefer Dvarim, look at the Rambam, the whole thing is, if you just look in the Pesukim, it's very clear. What's all Sefer Dvarim? It's the preparation for going into Eretz Yisrael. Okay? And it's not like the topic doesn't come up in between. But Rov HaTorah is about this. And go into Chazal. So I want to ask another question. Let's say you have a fine young woman who says to you the following. Let's say you have a friend and she says to you, you know what? I consider myself to be a very serious Bas Torah. I consider myself to be a very frum Jew. Whatever lingo you want to use, whatever you want terminology. Say the person says, I consider myself a very serious Bas Torah. But you know what? Tznius is just not for me. It's just not my thing. It's not for me. But I'm a very serious Bas Torah, but you know, just tznius is not my thing. Don't talk about, you know, I'm not interested in the topic. It doesn't work for me. Okay? What's your reaction? You don't have to answer. I'm saying, what's your reaction? He says, I'm a very serious Bas Torah, but you know, it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't fit into my life. It's not for me, it's not my thing. Same time, you have someone who says, I'm a very serious Bas Torah, but you know what? Eretz Yisrael, I just doesn't speak to me. It's not important to me. I don't deny that it's something in the Torah, but it's not really. I can't see it as being a central figure in my life. It's not important to me. It's not something that I feel like I have to. Someone says, you know, I have issues with tznius, or I have issues with davening, or I have issues with whatever it is. I have issues with lashon hara. I have issues with, you know, the value of someone sitting with. So what do we say to them? Okay, so we all have our chesronot, and you have to work on yourself, and you have to figure out how to get from here to there. And beseder, so you're not there, and we still love you, and you're still a good person, and you're still a good Jew, and you have good... But this is clearly an area that you have to work on. But, you know, certainly, if it's not even on the agenda that you're going to, like, there's a problem, right? There's a problem. The person, you know, this is not an important thing. So if I don't understand it and I don't appreciate it and I don't feel the value of it in my life and I don't see it as being critical, so I have to work on it. I have to figure out how to make it, you know, how to make it work. And maybe that will take a month and maybe it will take 25 years. I don't know, but maybe it'll take a lifetime, but that's something I have to work on. If I have troubles with Lashon Hara, okay, that's, I have to work on it. And somehow, I think a lot of people just don't get it when it comes to Eretz Yisrael. And, or for example, you have a guy who says, like, I'm very serious Ben Torah, you know, but learning just is not for me. It just doesn't work. What are you going to say? Right? What do we say? So, okay, that's not for you. You know, there are other things, there are other mitzvah. I mean, seriously, right? What are we going to say? So, Beseder, say, okay, not everyone is going to learn the same amount, and it's not, maybe learning 20 hours a day is not for you, but maybe 15 minutes a day, and maybe not learning Gemara B'Iyum, maybe you have to learn Tanakh or Agat, or whatever. But it has to be some important part of your life in some way. I mean, if it's not, so you have to work on it, and you know, it's a goal. Correct. One example of what I'm talking about. One example, just one concrete example. I had the schus of being my family, as you know, at the Shabbaton Kochav HaShachar, right? And Ashwa gave the sicha about Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Seder. And I have to tell you, I was shocked. The people who afterwards were here, there, you know, within MMY, people, I was just like, I don't know, hearing these like snide remarks about like, that's the only mitzvah, and the same type of things that Reb Malama is talking about. And it strikes me as like, he wasn't saying it's the only mitzvah. He's not saying that there, and I know him for many years, and saying I always agree with him about everything, but no one said it's the only mitzvah. I'm saying that this is a critical, overlooked, and underappreciated mitzvah that we have to work on. And that we have to work on not just in terms of ourselves, but in terms of others. And you know, that Eretz Yisrael is a central issue, is a critical issue, is not something that, you know, was created by the Zionists or was made up by the Mizrahi or was invented by who knows what. This is what open up a Chumash and look. And for that matter, open up a Gemara and look. And for that matter, open up, you know, any number of Sfarim of Rishonim and look, and it's very, very simple. It's very simple and straightforward. But if just to get, but because Chazal is so vast, right? It's hard for me to say, okay, we're going to do this with, you know, with Shas and with Midrash and with that. You know, there are many things in Chazal that we should look at, many things in Rishonim and Chulei and Achronim. And but my point is simply that I think this is very important, that the appreciation for, not just that Eretz Yisrael is part of, that it's central, that's much critical, that's a key piece, that we can't envision a religious Jew who's not a Zionist. God is a Zionist. God is called Elokei Haaretz. There are different definitions of what it means to be a Zionist. Now, I'm not saying that you have to fit every definition in order to be a religious Jew. I'm not saying, person, there's room for different opinions about what, or at least it's a different question. What should my relationship be to the state of Israel? To say it, I understand, that's a different question. It's a different question. I'm not saying what the answer is, but that's a different question. I think a person has to be a Zionist in the political sense, or that, again, I'm not saying that one doesn't, but I'm just saying that that's a different question. It's a different question. That's not what I mean when I say that for a person to be a religious Jew, they have to be a Zionist. I mean that if Eretz Yisrael is not a central, if love of Eretz Yisrael, of understanding that our destiny as Am Yisrael is intimately tied up with it, you haven't read Chumash. Forget about knowing Shah, you haven't read Chumash. Right? Just read Chumash, you'll see. It's very, very simple. It's very straightforward. That's Pasha Pshat from one, and it's not like Chazal, you know, well, that's what you get from a simple reading of Chumash, but then you read Chazal and you find out otherwise. No, Chazal amplify the idea, not mitigate it. They build on this, and there are so many Chazals and Chulei. But the point is that certainly, parents say that there are Ben Torah, Bat Torah, but, you know, marriage is not really that important. They're kind of tepid about it. I can just, you know, it doesn't really, you know, it's very hard for me to understand that. Again, I'm telling you subjectively, but I think that there's something empirical to it as well, which is what trying to show you here. And I think that now is an appropriate time to address this issue as we go into Yom HaTzmaut, a time where we have the opportunity to commemorate and to remember the incredible, incredible chesed and nes, and not nes, nisim eflaut of Hashem in giving us the opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael and to live in Eretz Yisrael and to have control over Eretz Yisrael. These are incredible, incredible things, unparalleled in the thing, it's not going to right now, but things that are unparalleled in all Jewish history that you can see just walking down the street. It's an incredible thing. Incredible thing. And I want to just point out one more thing, that it's not just Chumash. If you open up a Siddur, I tell you, I could well see someone, you know, some of you are even in it, but I give a series on Tefillah. And very often, it has to do with Eretz Yisrael. It's not because I'm trying to stick in Eretz Yisrael every 2 minutes. It's because you open up the Siddur and you see it's there time and time and time again. You look, it's every one of the Birchot Kriyat Shema talks about our return to Eretz Yisrael. Shemon Esrei talks about we daven in Birkat HaMazon. We daven our tefillah all the time. We talk about returning to Eretz Yisrael, returning to Yerushalayim. So if that's not just lip service, if it's not just min ha-pelechot, if it's really real, if we're really real about it, and it's not just kmitzvah anashim ulumada, it's not just rote, and it's not just acting, but it's real. We've been saying for 2,000 years that we really want to be in Eretz Yisrael. We want to have the opportunity to return to Eretz Yisrael. We want to have Yerushalayim back. We want to be able to be here. So if we really mean it, so we have to really mean it. And we should understand. And to, you know, and as many others have pointed out, you know, so we daven for a lot of things. We daven for Hashem to give us parnasa and to give us food and to give us. We daven for Hashem to give us Eretz Yisrael. We have to also do something about it. We just daven. It was in Makola one day. The person was saying about how, you know, all we need to do is to daven and to learn. And, you know, no need to do anything, we don't need to be active anyway, we don't need to do anything for our own life. Is that what that person, you know, that person is in the makola buying food. He's not sitting at home davening that the food comes to him. He's saying that, like, you know, I'm going to daven to Hashem and the food's going to appear on my table. No, he in some way or other makes a living, whether it's in a kollel, or whether it's at a job, or whatever, it doesn't matter. But whatever it is, he somehow gets money through human means, Bezrat Hashem, obviously. And he doesn't daven when he's hungry that Hashem should make food magically appear on his table. He goes out and goes to Makola and buys it. In any case, but that's not the central point I want to bring out. The central point I want to bring out is how central is, and by the way, you people didn't find all of the cases. There are many more. I didn't give you enough time. That's not your fault. Just that, right? You said, Devarim, you got up to Perek, Yud, Aleph. Right? Any case. Mash, important to understand, I think that this is an... I hope that what we did today is food for thought. That will give you cause to think a little bit and to evaluate and to consider and to... You know, in any case... again, I don't want anyone to think Chas V'Shalom in any way suggesting that any of the topics that I picked, and I really picked, I could have picked three other topics just as easily that are discussed on a regular basis, and it wouldn't have been very different. I'm not in any way saying that these are not important things. They're obviously important things. But, if we were to ask which is more central, which is more fundamental to Torah, Judaism, Eretz Yisrael or Tznius, so I'm sorry, despite what happens in a lot of schools, in a lot of places, a lot of shuls, of chuli, in terms of what is spoken about all the time and what isn't, Eretz Yisrael is much more central than Tznius. And that's not because I don't think Tznius is important. I think it's very important. But it's not as fundamental, as central to Torah. And yet, the person's not exactly the same idea of Tznius as I think, even if it's perfectly fine, really, etc. But it's not exactly... The person's not a Bas Torah. But if the person says, you know, lo echpatli, it doesn't matter to me whether I'm living in place X, whether I'm living there, it's not important to me. It's not on my agenda. It's not for me. Someone wants to live there, so fine, but it's not for me. So that's not a problem. Something is wrong someplace. Something has gone very wrong. And that's something that I think that we have to think about. Okay. Beseder. Questions? Rebuttals? Rocks that people want to throw? Anything?
For,
yes, please.
No rebuttal, I just
but
have a
please,
question.
Please.
I like agree completely. I just, in davening, aren't we asking to return to Yerushalayim Habnuya specifically? Like, we're not at, like, it's not just to come back, not just, but it's not like merely to come to Yerushalayim, but it's specifically.
Okay, so I think you're saying two things. You're equating two things which are not the same, and I think one is true and the other is not true. Okay. meaning. Okay. Meaning. This is something that already is addressed in Chazal, and the Gra talks about politically. Okay. Vadai, Barur, there's no doubt that we are not only asking to return to Eretz Yisrael, return to Yerushalayim, or to put it in different words, I certainly don't think, and I don't think that any religious Zionist, just to throw a label on, really, again, not the point, not like I'm a member of a party or a group, just like it's a question of how I understand Torah, but I certainly don't think, and I don't think anyone thinks, that all we want is what we have now, and like we don't, you know, Chas v'Shalom, we don't want to have the Beit Hamikdash. We don't want to have real control of our heart by it, to have the Beit Hamikdash and to have the Avoda and to have the Hashrat Hashchina and to have v'chulei v'chulei v'chulei. Of course, that's barur, and of course we're asking for more. Meaning that there's still what for us to ask for. That's
right.
Barur. However, the other half, which is that unless and until we have that, then we don't have anything, that's for sure not. That's for sure not true. And I can show you one thing after another in Tanakh, in Chazal, in Rishonim, in Achronim, down the line, that's badai not true. In other words, we find that there are many Rishonim who literally risk their lives to attempt, some successfully, some unsuccessfully. Okay, like the Maharami Runberg, the greatest Rishonim ever, the most important Rishonim, Maharami Runberg, the whole group of great Ba'at also went, tried to go there as well. He was caught and he was imprisoned as a result of it and he died in prison, but he was trying to get there as well. There was no Yerushalayim HaBnuya, okay? He didn't, maybe he dreamed of what we have in terms of Yerushalayim HaBnuya, with all of that we don't have yet, right? But we're talking about that it wasn't in the hands of non-Jews, and it was, and they had a very, lucky, question you could find a minion, and it was certainly not, we're not talking about that, like, you walk every 2 feet and there's another shul, and there's another minion, and there's another, Beis Meresh, and there's another yeshiva. And that's true of many of the greatest of Rishonim. Right? The Ramban talks about how he came to Eretz Yisrael and gave up everything. He gave up his family, gave up his position, gave up everything, to go to a place where there were a handful of Jews. And because he speaks very clearly about why. He says, because of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in Torah, and he wanted to come to the place of you know, where it's really at, and so he came, despite the fact that it was tremendously difficult and changed. There was no Yerushalayim, there was no Beit HaMikdash, there was no Yerushalayim Abnuya, you know what I'm saying? It's not, we fast on Tzom Gedalia because, you know, because of what we lost. Think about what we're, that was after the Churban Ari took place. There was no Beit HaMikdash. There was no even autonomy. There was a tiny bit of autonomy, that tiny bit was taken away, so we have its own because of that. To understand that there's more than one thing. There's more than one stage, there's more than one thing. And the Gra talks about the idea that first, and he brings many sources for this, that first Bnei Yisrael returned to Eretz Yisrael, and then it's rebuilt, and v'chule, v'chule. Not the other way around. Right? The first step is Kibbutz Galia, not the last step. It's a discussion, but the Gra talks about this at length. And I'm just saying so part of what he's saying is absolutely true. But I think that it's important not to equate saying that we are asking for more than what we have and saying that unless we have all of that, so then it's nothing. And that's a very important distinction. Okay, we are more than out of time, so I apologize for a couple minutes over. But anyone who has a further question or comment, I'm glad to say, but I don't want to keep you.